And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, on this incredible moment in the history of the church, where our Lord takes his disciples, Peter, James, and John, up on that incredible mountain, and Jesus is transfigured before them. Well, I'd like us to think this morning about that moment and to realize how hard it is for us, when you think about it, to live in the moment. How often in the moment of any time that we are on our journey of faith are we looking towards the past and regretting things of the past? And then, of course, we're instructed to look to the future and preparations in a lot of different ways as we anticipate the future. And yet there's those cares and concerns that can really disturb our present moment as we focus upon the future. So much so that sadly, focusing on the past and the future, we fail to really live in the moment. Well, certainly for Peter, James, and John, it was an incredible moment on that mountaintop. So much so that they wanted to put up shelters. They didn't want that moment to end. They wanted to stay there with Jesus in all of his glory. Well, the good news for us, as amazing as that event was historically, it's an event that continues on in the life of the church, because the reality is that God is always present in every moment of life that you and I are blessed to live. And we can't see him with our physical eyes like Peter, James, and John saw Jesus glorified before their very physical eyes. There Jesus was in the flesh. But we see the Lord through the eyes of faith, trusting in his written word. Now, this is an incredible event. The promises that Jesus make are incredible promises. And so I thought it would be good this morning, and we see it in the epistle reading. In fact, what does Peter say? You know, yes, I was on that mountain. I saw that with my eyes. It was incredible. But you know, there's something that's even more certain than what I saw. And that is the prophetic written word of God, the Holy Scriptures. And you see in the text that is on the screen, at the end of this, Peter writes, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So affirming that the word of God, the Holy Bible, is God's word. It is inspired and it's absolutely trustworthy. In fact, so much so that, remember Jesus when he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness? I mean, here is Jesus, the Son of God, the word that has become flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus could have said anything to Satan, but what does he say to him over and over again? You can read about it in Matthew 4. He quotes the written word of God, the Old Testament that was available then. And Jesus looked at Satan in the face of temptation and said, "It is written." And then he quoted several times from the Scriptures. Well, God elsewhere in his word, as we see it here before us in 2 Peter, makes it evident that God's word is absolutely trustworthy, because the author, who is God, is trustworthy. In Isaiah chapter 55, I love these verses, verses 10 and 11. God causes us to look at a physical illustration of what we can see. When the rain and the snow come down, what do? But they water the earth, and as a result of that, plants sprout up and grow and produce fruit. And we can see that, and we pray for that every year, for usable moisture, because we know what that produces. But God says, here's something I want to know, you to know. As you see the physical power in that, look at what my word does. It doesn't return to me empty, but it will accomplish that which I propose and shall succeed in the things for which I sent it. So even more sure than plants growing as a result of moisture, God says his word changes things. And then in Isaiah 40, verse 8, we receive this great comfort from God that his word is not going away. As much as an unbelieving world wants to try and push it away, as much as many people mock the written word of God, the Holy Bible, and deny it for what it is not going away. Because God isn't going away, and he says his word stands forever. Now, in that context, think about these incredible promises of God's presence among us. And I have four of them, there's many more in Scripture. But the first one from Joshua 1:9. Now think about these words. Absolutely trustworthy. God says to you and me, to his church, to the world, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In the present. Think about that. In the present, the Almighty God is with you and me ongoing. Or in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. We look at that, and I know that's Ruthie's confirmation verse. I remember at the hospital having a prayer with you, and you shared that. Fear not, for I am with you. Look at that. Why don't we need to fear? Because the Almighty God says, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God's saying in every moment of our lives, we live in this reality and this incredible power and promise from God. In Deuteronomy 31:6, God says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. As God's people are preparing to go into the promised land and conquer it by God's blessing, God says, I'm going with you. And then look at his confirmation of that. I will not leave you or forsake you. In every moment of our lives, we live in the presence of the Almighty, glorified Lord Jesus Christ. God's word is 100% trustworthy. He is always with us. There is never, ever, ever a time that God says, oop, missed that moment. It never happens with God. We can be confident of that. But the deeper question then for us this morning, in light of that truth, is do we live according to that? Do we really live our lives in accordance to this tremendous truth that God reveals to us? And you know, life can really beat us up. We're saint, a child of God, but we're also sinners. We still have that sinful flesh, and it's a battle that rages on within us. And so in the moment, we can be doing incredibly godly things, praising God, and in that same moment, we can totally do something that is really ungodly and contrary to God's will. And if you don't believe that, I'd like you to go back and read Matthew 16 and 17 today when you get time later on. But it following Peter in the context of witnessing this incredible transfiguration of the Lord. Peter, remember Jesus asked the apostles just a little earlier, 6 days earlier from this event. He asked them, well, who do you say that I am? And boy, Peter was there bold, right? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus blesses Peter. But then in almost the same moment, Jesus begins to explain that the leader, he's going to go to Jerusalem. He's going to suffer many things. The leader of the quote-unquote church are going to kill him. And then Jesus says, I will rise again. And the very same Peter that was blessed in the moment, what does Jesus say? Peter looks at Jesus and says, this is never going to happen to you. And remember Jesus? Get behind me, Satan. He called Peter Satan, because Peter was falling right into the hands of what Satan desired. One moment blessing Peter, the next moment saying those harsh words to Peter. It's how life is in reality for you and me as Satan's sinner. And so do we really live according to God's word? Do we really live the Christian life that God desires us to live? And it's really a twofold answer. It's yes and it's no. Because as sinner, our sinful nature wants to embrace the deeds of the flesh. And you can find those in Galatians 5, 19 to 21. And just look at the ugly words that are up there. And pick your poison, because all of us are vulnerable to different things that you see on the screen. And our sinful flesh just wants to embrace them and make that our life. But as God's children, we're also children of faith. And so we also, as children of faith, have the desire to do the works of the Spirit, which follows in Galatians, the next slide. And look at that, quite a contrast, isn't it? And this is where God wants you and I to be in every moment of our lives. And so it's a battle that rages on in our lives, and it's a battle, by the way, that you and I cannot win. The unbelieving world looks at us and says, wow, what a bunch of hypocrites those Christians are. You know, they say that they're these godly people. Well, let me tell you what a Christian did to me last week. Or other Christians will look upon us in our sin, and it's like, well, I would never do anything like that. I don't even know if they're really a child of faith. And so there's many Christians that get into this self-righteous mode in approaching this issue. But then I love the Apostle Paul, Romans 7. You can read about it, where the great Apostle Paul talks about this battle. And he concludes it with, what a wretched man I am. Who's going to rescue me from this body of death? Now there's a humble, faithful spirit. And Paul gives the answer, it's only through Christ alone. And you see, that's why Jesus was so stern with Peter when he said, no, Lord, you can't go there and do that, because it's the only way for salvation. And so after that very tough dialogue with them, and Peter giving that great confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus takes them up on the mountain. You really see the heart of the Lord. He could have thought, you know what, Peter, if you're going to be that stern and against me, I'm never going to let you see me in my glory. It's not the heart of our Lord. He doesn't act that way. But graciously includes Peter and James and John. And 6 days later, after all this dialogue, brings them up on the mountain. And incredible things happen. Jesus is transfigured. And meaning that for a moment, Jesus allowed them to see his glory as true God. And it was brilliant, as we hear it described, the bright white light. And then, who's there with Jesus but Moses and Elijah, right? Can you imagine being there and seeing this? The great, the representative of the law, Moses, the representative of the prophets, Elijah, the representatives of the entire Old Testament, the same word that Jesus confronted Satan with, it is written, and now Jesus is standing here in their presence, and he is the fulfillment of what God directed them to look forward to. And in the moment, now he is there glorified before all of their very eyes. And then the voice speaks. I wonder what the voice of God sounds like audibly. You know, we hear it a few times in Scripture, but the voice from heaven, as it spoke at Jesus' baptism, as God spoke then, speaks here again. This is my beloved Son. And then what? Listen to him. Listen to him. And you know, when I hear that, listen to him, in light of this dialogue Jesus had with his disciples then, I think of Jesus at the cross. And remember when he spoke those words before he died? It is finished. This work of salvation, Jesus says, that I came to do, I have completed in full now, in the moment, at the cross. Nobody can undo what Jesus has done. It stands forever. It's offered to the entire world. He died for our sins and the sins of all people. It's the only way out. It's the only way that we can be rescued is through what Jesus has done. And he says, I've done it. It's finished. And he offers it as a gift to the world through faith. We personally receive it in our lives. And through the waters of baptism, through hearing the word, God has changed us. If you believe, he has called you to faith. If you don't believe, talk to me afterwards. We'll talk about it. But God desires that all people be saved. He knows the dire straits we're in. We cannot overcome sin by our own power and strength. Humbling, isn't it? But Jesus has done everything. And as a result, we are forgiven. As a result, in every moment, we are protected. As a result, in every moment, we are empowered. Every moment, we live in the presence of Jesus glorified. For the disciples, it was just that moment. And then they had to go through the gruesome journey with Jesus following him to the cross. But that's completed. That's historical. Easter is the good news. Death could not hold him. And Jesus rose victoriously from the grave. He lives, and he lives in every moment of your life. Right now, in this moment, the Almighty glorified Jesus Christ is present among us. How do we know it? Because God promises it. In his written word. And so we are forgiven. In fact, the Lord even comes today in the Lord's Supper, the supper he instituted when he gave to the disciples the bread and the wine. He said, this is my body, not represents. Jesus saying, this is my body, this is my blood. And in a very physical way, we witness the presence of our glorified Savior, Jesus Christ. And in partaking of the bread and the wine, which we'll do in a moment, we are receiving the very body and blood of Jesus that was shed for you and me and broken upon that cross. And why does God give us this in visible form? So that in our moments we do not doubt, that we know and are empowered with his forgiveness. What a blessing. Knowing how visual we are living in a physical world, that even for us, Jesus would give us this visual that we partake in time and time again. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the message this morning is to appreciate, to realize, to trust that our glorified Jesus Christ is with us every moment of our lives. We can stop regretting the past. God has forgiven us for the past. We can stop worrying about the concerns of the future. Nobody has the future figured out. Only God does. Just look at the stock market. Look where that's going. God knew it was going that way. He knows everything, and so he doesn't want us to get caught up in trusting in those things or worrying about them. But he wants us to live in the moment now. You know, I love the hymn, and Sharon would appreciate this from our hymnal. "'Tis good, Lord, to be here." We're going to sing it during communion. "'Tis good, Lord, to be here, yet we may not remain, but since thou bidst us leave the mount, come with us to the plain." And the Lord is with us, whether it's on the mountain or the plain, now and for eternity. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give thanks and praise. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in every moment in Christ Jesus our Lord, who loves us and lives with us. Amen.